All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Wheel Wednesday. I'm Scott from Koenig. This is Doubt from Koenig. And I don't know. How's it going?
Good. Same old. Different day.
Has the car any closer to coming back to life?
Hopefully have it today.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
For those of you who don't know, Doubt had an unfortunate incident with a rod ejection through his motor. So
right through the oil pan.
Yeah. It took out the oil pump. It was a good one.
It was definitely a good one.
But then he got another replacement engine.
And that knocked.
On startup.
On startup, that knocked. So then I had to take that whole motor out, and now we're putting a whole nother motor in. So I've had a better day. Better days, for sure.
I feel like we should cue in the – we don't have the capability right now, but I feel like we should cue in the Three's Company, come in. Not come in. Something else to say around the office, there's been quite a few knock-knock jokes going on.
At my dispense.
Yeah, they're more funny for us than they are for Doubt.
Yeah, I cry when I leave here. It's all right.
Yeah, but speaking of engines, so here's what I was thinking about. You know, I saw an article that came out last week. I don't remember exactly where it was, but basically, the subject is that we know how people do engine swaps, right?
Yeah.
Like we even joked a little bit about you doing an engine swap.
I think it was a K swap on mine.
Yeah. Right. Volkswagen people are like,
really
oh,
love that
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many different engine swaps here. I'm making sure that I'm not rubbing my mic against.
I think you're good.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, yeah, so there's so many different engine swaps that are out there now. And the question is, when we start to look at these engine swaps, where are they going to go in the future, right? We already know that there's a few impending things that are happening. Yes, they're a little bit further off, but time goes quick.
Time does go quick.
So by 2035, most states are going to require that no automotive manufacturer has a combustion engine anymore, which means that there'll be electric vehicles, which, you know, you can argue as Tesla's become more apparent, and now, you know, the Volkswagen, Audi group, Porsche group, that whole group is investing more and more to their basically to being committed to producing electric vehicles.
100%.
And we've seen a lot of these different automotive manufacturers now taking the pledge and going into
Didn't Volvo electric. Also say something about doing full electric? I'm not 100%.
Yeah, don't quote me.
Don't quote that.
But I believe it's by 2022 Volvo pledged that they would no longer make anything other than electric.
Yeah, which is
a big statement.
That's a big statement.
Right. But so we're going to see this become more apparent as we go forward, right? There's no doubt that electric.
No doubt, get it?
I do. there's no doubt that electric is going to be something that I believe is not only here to stay, but has the future written all over it.
100%.
Now, not in the way that A-Track did.
No.
That came, and that didn't work.
Yeah, that went.
And maybe not the way, not the brief period of time that CDs were around.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that electric is going to become more prevalent. And also, I think that the missing piece to this stuff is really the battery technology.
Yeah.
And as that becomes better, we're going to see electric really take a stronghold because the capability is going to be incredible.
Yeah, definitely going to be incredible. Who knows? Who knows what will happen within 5 years?
Well, yeah.
Even next year.
Yeah, right. I mean, but definitely within a five-year span, you're going to watch that. I mean, people are really focused on battery technology.
Yeah.
So the question is, if this becomes the right way to go, when we start talking about things like engine swaps, is electric swaps into some of our cars going to be a way to go?
Well, I know a couple of people have done it.
Right.
Not personally, but I've seen a couple of cars that have done it.
Yeah, we were just talking about this with the E36.
There was a – used to mention the E36.
Yeah.
I know I've seen an E30 rolling around with the Tesla swap in there. And I remember a couple of years ago at Waterfest, there was an A5 who had a Tesla swap on there.
Okay.
Which was, I think it was cool. It's definitely something that has not been done before.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely nice to see people are taking the initiative to do it.
Yeah, and you know, I think what's interesting is too is that as a car enthusiast, so many people will default to, that's not the right way to do it. You know, or really bashing on electric. But I will tell you, for the people that really haven't, that are really kind of big opponents of the electric type vehicles, mm-hmm. I would say there's a good chance that the percentage of them have not experienced driving a Tesla or not have experienced
100%.
Being in a Taycan or something to those effects.
100% have not.
They rip. They rip.
They rip. They quick. 0 to 60 is you're gone.
Right.
No tire squeal. Nothing. No. You know.
Yeah.
No grinding gears.
Which, by the way, for those who are watching, is slightly illegal in Maryland.
In Maryland, Ocean City, it's completely illegal to grind your gears, guys. Just please remember that.
No grinding of the gears in Maryland. And if you're clueless as to what we mean, go back 2 podcasts or so. Yeah. So one of the things that's really interesting to me is EV West. If you're not familiar with them, EV West is an electric engine, electric power type of company, manufacturer, etc. And they put out a lot of parts. You can buy complete. Some of them are Tesla-based engines, but basically they allow you to have control modules. They sell you the pieces if you were going to assemble electric vehicles. What they are starting to offer now is swap kits, conversion kits.
That's crazy.
So they are pricey, but they started with some V8 cars, and what they're selling you is the electric engine. There's provision for battery powers, mm-hmm. you know, battery powered control modules. I'm not the most informed when it comes to electric, so I'm trying to stay general as far as my terms.
I'm nowhere near informed, so I'm kind of learning as we go over here today.
Right. they're selling you control modules. They're selling you like adapters, and basically they're giving you the pieces that you would need then to start being able to engineer some of these pieces, mm-hmm. right? And I think while it's a little expensive now, I know that there are some conversion kits. Ironically, a lot of the conversion kits I saw on their website are Volkswagen related, but not new Volkswagen.
To tell me
well, yeah, maybe that second knocking engine should have been replaced with the third electric motor. But in reality, when we start talking about you know, swaps. What's interesting is on their website, a lot of the conversions that we were talking about or that I was looking at were like old VW Bugs, VW buses.
I think they have the room to really put it, though. Like, how big are these motors? That's really the question.
Well, that's the thing. Depending on the size and the amount of power that you need, they come in various different sizes.
That's crazy.
Right.
That is beyond crazy.
Well, and it's a whole new world of thinking. It's a whole new world of thought. And the equation to how they make power versus not, it sometimes can be tough because you can't really dyno them and get, you know, they have some charts that give you some comparable things. But what we're going to start to see, I believe, is as they become more accepted, we're going to have a transition of enthusiasts that are going to become electric type tuners.
I think so.
100%. More and more. More and more.
More and more you're going to start to see it because not a lot of people are doing it.
Right.
That's what a lot of people want. They want that wow factor. Like, wow, I put an electric motor in an old E30, which I think that's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I'll give you that.
It's something different, something you don't see every day versus, you know, the basic swaps that we see all the time.
But better yet, if you had an E30, let's go use an E30 as a...
If you're going to ask me if I put an electric motor in an E30, I'd probably say no, but... No,
well, I wasn't going to ask you, so the pressure's off.
The pressure's off now, thank God.
But when we started talking about E30, the car wasn't incredibly powerful from the factory. I mean,
no.
What were they, 150 horsepower, kind of roughly?
Roughly
that,
around there, nothing right? crazy.
So now we're talking about you putting in an engine that with the right capabilities and really without increasing the weight all that much, if at all. Well, let me talk about without the battery. The battery. Well,
that's
all right.
That's really what brings up the weight.
Agreed. And here's the thing. I believe that when it comes down to these cars, especially for the time being, there's going to have to be this compromise, right? Because it's not going to be easy just to take a Tesla battery. Like, you could take a Tesla motor out and then figure out how to make your custom battery fitments or et cetera, but you're not going to be able to take a Tesla battery and bolt it to the bottom of your car.
No. Definitely
it's not. Too geared for the chassis. And so there are people that will advocate that you can actually buy different cells and make components. And if you're really technologically advanced, I think that's possible. But for now, I think what we're going to be struggling with, very much like when a race car builds a car and puts a fuel cell in the tank, right? They're not. It's not the 15-gallon tank that came with the car.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a 5-gallon tank, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a little bit of the hodgepodgery in the beginning with batteries.
Yeah, definitely so. I think so for sure.
But you know, but we wonder, you know, is that's the first step, right? To see conversion kits. That,
well, if you look at like the hybrids all have their batteries in like the truck in the trunk of the car. That like.
I don't know. I want the all thing is what threw me off. Not because you're wrong.
Yeah, not all, but I've seen some where the battery is like
right.
behind the back seat, yep. right between where like your spare tire would be.
Right, like a Prius. That's they store the battery
right
cells
there to the back.
Yeah, like you have to take all the seats out, and it's right.
I remember when I worked at Toyota when I used to watch the guys do that. That was a nightmare for them, and I don't know. But again, I could be wrong. It could be easy, but I know it was a nightmare to get to.
I actually have taken apart a Prius down to the battery packs.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that it's not tough. You just do have to take a solid amount of pieces out.
Mm-hmm.
But working on batteries is no joke.
No. That's electrical work in general for me. I never liked it. I don't like wires. I don't like electricity. So I don't know how comfortable I would be doing that swap.
So I could tell you an interesting story, and I won't give you the whole story because, you know, time constraints here. Mm-hmm. But in my first car-related job mm-hmm. was I worked as a stereo installer.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at a stereo shop. And one day I was assigned to do – I got all the grunt work. I wasn't high up on the food chain there, right?
Gotta start somewhere.
One day, I get the job, a grunt work of installing batteries and, you know, these bus bars to link the batteries and wire the batteries all, you know, together in series. Mm-hmm. Because what we were doing essentially is it was an Escalade or a Navigator, one of those at the time. And the dude had amps and subs everywhere. So there was probably 8 or 10 batteries that they were wiring up.
I was just going to say, there was probably so many batteries in the back of that truck.
So I got the job of like, hey, like there's all the boxes of Optima batteries. Get them in the trunk. Get them, you know, whatever. Develop mounting locations for them so mm-hmm. they don't get moved and stuff like that. Bus bar them all together. Wire them up in series and leave the leads out so that, you know, another tech could come in, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was my job for the day. It was really hot. There wasn't any air conditioning in the back. The door kept going over. I'm like in the back, kind of like kneeling, but like, you know, whatever, so I don't hit my head. Uh-huh. And then I'm in the trunk, like bouncing around the car. Anyhow, bottom line is, you know, the sweat sometimes it, like, it would drip and it kind of gets you in your nose. And then sometimes you have the sneezes.
Yep. Go right into your eye and you start rubbing your eye.
I will say that the shock that you get from batteries that are starting to be connected to all together, it's substantial.
And I will not be doing that today.
that's not even one of those pack cells. I had a crescent wrench in my hand, and I know what you said, not a crescent, but like, you know, an adjustable mm-hmm. wrench. And you know, again, I was younger, and I wish I had used something different. I also wish I had used a rubber insulated handle, but I'm. As I sneezed, I slipped and caught two terminals. And when I tell you that I felt like I couldn't let the wrench go, My fist clenched so tight around the wrench, I didn't know if it was ever going to stop.
Just making it worse.
Anyhow, so be careful with batteries.
Hopefully somebody came and, like, pulled you off.
Well, it wasn't like, no, I got myself
like
off.
Like an electric fence, you know?
But I remember the feeling of my hand feeling like I had never clenched anything so hard before. Anyhow, so they're starting to sell more of these swap kits, especially for V8 cars and different things, where they're giving you so many pieces to be able to develop mounts, install these engines into cars. And while it does feel a little unnatural to maybe not have, a gear shift, while it may not feel natural to not hear your car start, you know, one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to have that tuning phase coming where people are going to be, you know, the way they add turbos and stuff, they're going to be looking for battery, modifications, you're going to be looking for controller modifications, motor modifications, how many motors, locations of motors.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a different level of tuning. And so the question is, as an automotive enthusiast, are you prepared to eventually make that jump?
Personally?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
So let's go 10 years down the road. Well, no,
I'd
let's not
do
that.
I'd have to see how it would, you know, how it would, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what word I'm looking for right now.
All right, so let's go down this road. Let's say in the next few years,
mm-hmm.
you're in the market for a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hypothetically say by that time, Volkswagen has put out an electric GTI. Now, let's go one step further. We're not going to say it's going to be... It's not like the Ford Mustang where they turned it into an eco-wagon, right?
Yeah.
Let's say it looks like a GTI, but the difference is it's electric-powered.
No turbo.
There's no turbo. But let's go... Let's keep going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that at that point, tuning companies like, you know, I don't want to call out specific companies, but let's say, but like the popular Euro tuning companies that we all know,
mm-hmm.
let's say they've developed a flash for it that now changes the output. While it does speed up the battery use.
I was just going to say,
it does speed up the battery use. And so let's say that maybe they've come out with these cars and they've said you have 300 miles per charge. And they say, all right, well, we can decrease your mile charge to 25 miles per charge or 200 miles per charge.
Mm-hmm.
But we can give you the equivalent. So let's say the car comes with the equivalent of 300 horsepower but 400 pounds of torque right out of the box. And now let's say that this by tuning it, by flashing it,
mm-hmm.
they're saying we can get you up to the equivalent of 500 horsepower and 780 foot-pounds of torque, the equivalent. Do you...
A lot of butts.
But now we're there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now would you buy an electric-powered car?
That is something I would definitely have to test drive and see what my face looks like.
Okay, so let's... Have you been in a Tesla, honestly?
Honestly, no. I've sat in, like, the big trucks, but I've never, like, physically driven them or been driven in them. I don't have an issue with any of the Teslas, though. I'm not like, oh, it's electric. I don't like it. But
so what I'm saying is, let's say you get in, you put this thing to the floor, and this car takes off.
Probably be down.
I would
probably consider it at that point. Of course, depending on what price is, but yeah.
Right. Well, we all can agree that, like, a loaded GTI brings you, what, mid-30s? Low 30s?
Yeah, 32.
I'm not talking about Golf R. I'm not talking about...
32, bro.
Okay.
You know, if you get a fully loaded package.
So let's say these cars go to 40,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I believe what's going to happen here is cars are going to get more expensive, especially initially.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to get more expensive because not only does it cost more to make the car and the battery technology, but I believe that they're going to factor in cost savings.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to factor in... maybe some incentives that are going to be available, but they're going to factor in the fact that you're no longer going to be paying for gasoline.
It's pretty much going to be like how you're describing, like when the hybrids first came out.
Or how the Teslas are.
Yeah, or even the Teslas, yeah.
Right.
Again.
I think about that, and I think, wow, it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the average person isn't like me. The average person isn't the guy that wants to physically work on the car.
Mm-hmm.
The average person wants to have stuff done in the car, but then, you know, they may take it to a shop or whatever. And so tuning capability may that the world I just painted for you mm-hmm. is where tuning capability still exists. Accessorizing your vehicle still exists.
Of course.
Upgrading your car to an extent still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess my question now to people that are going to make that thing is, so what did we lose? We lost a clutch
pedals,
the ability to shift.
You won't grind gears.
You won't illegally grind gears. Now, what if you...
My big thing is I love hearing the turbo. I love hearing the blow-off valve, you know, of course, changing gears, everything right. like that. But, again, I really have to see where we would be at in 10 years.
Now, I wonder for $49.95 if we can come up a little thing that allows you to go psh, psh. I just, you know, the reason I'm asking is because when we start talking about different engine swaps, you know, and we talk about it quite a bit.
Yes.
Right now, the engine swap that we're that I was looking at for some of the V8 stuff where it comes with sort of an adapter that allows you to get to the rears and stuff mm-hmm. like that, is expensive. Now,
how much are we talking here, Scott?
Well, so some of those are expensive in the sense that they're, I think I saw them for $15,000 to $20,000. Now, hold on one second. I will say that some of the conversion kits that I saw for some of the older Volkswagen stuff, and I'm sure there's a different level there, and I'm sure it's not everything. Like, you may have to go buy batteries still.
Mm-hmm.
Is along the lines of $7,000 or $8,000. Still expensive. But
if I was building a V-Dub bus, I think I would want it to be full electric.
That's what I'm saying.
If it was a V-Dub bus, I think I would want it to be full electric.
The question is, you know, when I think about, you know, I think about your situation, your car, and I think, wow, like let's fast forward a few years. Let's say your engine goes then.
Mm-hmm.
And now the price has changed a little bit. And let's say for $5,000, you can buy an electric engine with a lot of the swap pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to spend another, let's say, $3,000 or $2,500 to get the equivalent battery or whatever you're going to do to power it. But after you install this thing mm-hmm. and run it, like, you're fully compliant. No more inspections with the whole emissions type thing. Like, just safety stuff. Like all of a sudden, man, it starts to look a little different for me.
It puts a different perspective on it, for sure.
And I don't lose my car. I lose taking apart engines. I lose oil changes. I lose... So I'm not saying it didn't change. I'm not saying that I'm not becoming more nostalgic for the cars that mm-hmm. I always loved.
Yeah.
Just saying, if some of the boxes begin to be checked by the electric platforms...
That would be...
Right?
It's a lot of boxes to check, though.
Is it, though? I feel like we just did
You're right. Yeah, we did just do it. It's, don't steal our ideas.
No, they're already out there, man. Anyhow, I think there's something interesting to it, and I think there's a lot of benefit to some of these platforms as they go forward and to embracing some of this. But I also think it's really interesting to some of the potential, motor swaps that we will see
mm-hmm.
In conventional vehicles right now. You
I
know,
think so.
The companies that rush to get some of these things done, where we start getting to affordable battery technology, to where we get to the point where not only are you giving people the kits to install, but you're giving them the wiring and equations to be able to link to their body control modules and, you know, link to their different CAN bus systems and stuff so that things work, mm-hmm. right? Because you're not going to really need a tach. It's completely irrelevant, but maybe turn that into a big electric use gauge, you know?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I think that there's going to be some room there for some pretty interesting technology.
I'd love to see it. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see more cars being done with an electric motor again, because yeah. it's. I like the rareness of things. I like things that aren't constantly done over and over and over and over again. Going with like an electric swap on an older car, I dig it. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Like when I saw that E30 from, I forgot how many years ago now, it's probably been at least 4 or 5 years, I was all about it.
Yeah.
I remember hearing some of my friends complaining like, oh, but it's not, you know, I've screwed the electric, blah, blah, blah. I want, you know, the clutch, everything. It's something different, which makes it, puts it into a different bracket for me.
Yeah.
Where I could appreciate it.
I really like, there's an E36 drift car that's out there.
Drift car?
Yeah, and it's sick. Well, now, remember that last year we sponsored the first ever Formula Drift Pro electric drift car. That Travis Reeder drove it with Napoleon Motorsports, and that was the Camaro, that EL1 Camaro that they did. And that was, again, that was Tesla-powered, and they had a big learning curve, but it was officially the first professional drift electric-powered Formula Drift car. So it's interesting to see these things, and I believe that as much as they may not get the credit for that team, they really did pioneer into a sport to at least leave their mark on history for it, you know?
Yeah.
So by the way, if you want to know what a Tesla powered track day sounds like, I'm gonna let you hear it right now. So we hope you enjoyed that.
That's what it sounds like.
Right.
That would probably be the one thing that kills me the most. And like, if I ever did an electric swap, is how quiet it would be.
So I kid you not. Oh, but is it really though? Because how many times you get in your car and you don't listen to the radio? You're not listening to the music.
It really depends on the day.
Really?
Yeah. Some days I'll have it low to where I hear the car.
Yeah.
Really depends on where I'm driving, how I'm driving, of course, all that good stuff.
But, right. I get that. They, I actually have been at a Tesla track day.
Yeah.
Not inadvertently. I was there for something else.
It's probably quiet.
Well, it is awkward. and the same thing was like when we all went out to Formula Drift to go actually see the EL1 Camaro. It is eerie because all you hear is tire noise and like the rocks kicking up from the pavement.
Yep.
So it feels a little surreal. It almost feels like what you're watching one of those movies where the subtitles should be underneath, but there's no subtitles.
Yep.
Yeah. but anyhow, so that was it. So we'll leave you with this question before we get out of here. We of course missed in the intro telling you to give a thumbs up and subscribe. So, you know, maybe do that now if you're still
do it
here.
Now. If you're still watching.
But the question we'll leave you, and we would like you to put it down below, is how do you feel about electric vehicles? If the situation I described with the GTI was real, would you consider it? Is it something you're looking forward to? Do you feel that electric vehicles and electric power for cars detracts from being a car enthusiast? Or do you feel that a lot of the things that still... you know, cause you to be an enthusiast will be available. Like tuning will, that's the thing I think the biggest misconception that people have. I think that people really think that once you put an electric motor in, there's just nothing else to do.
There's going to be.
There will be.
Yeah.
Because electric tuning has been around for quite a while. They've used it in motorcycles and different projects. And those guys, they have power solutions. Like they've developed control modules. They've figured out. And it always comes down to just the battle between what type of form you're using. Like endurance racing on electric would be a tough thing.
That would be tough.
But Formula E is, you know, electric vehicles, and they do race, and a lot of this is going to be regenerative power.
Now, what happens when the battery dies?
So a lot of that stuff that, from what I understand, is what I was mentioning, that regenerative power, where they're using, you know, the kinetic energy from brakes and drivetrain and stuff to then re-harness
to charge the battery,
right? So. And you know, I mean, the problem is solar charges so slowly, but they have all these different little tricks that they're doing to one, to develop onboard power, and two, conserve existing power as it's in use. So, I don't know anything other than that.
It's more than what I know.
Yeah. So I guess that's about it. You have anything else you want to say about electric tuning? No. That's it. That's not sure.
Not sure.
So anyhow, let us know what your comments are, what your thoughts are. I don't know. Remember, we go live every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Instagram and Facebook. So if you have any questions about this or anything else, join us over there. And I don't know. We will catch you back here next Wednesday. Take care of yourself.